This class twice a year here, and then this actually, I counted today, this is the 12th time we've done this class this year so far, in five different countries, and Guyana and the jungles of Guyana, South America. We did it three different villages there, and then Guatemala, Costa Rica, Mongolia, and then in different towns and cities around here. So it's been a great blessing to do this class and see a lot of people changed. And every time I teach this class, I change. That's one of the reasons I teach it. So there's something about it that makes me go deeper too. So you all welcome. Hopefully I'll get to know all of your names. A lot of you I've never seen before, but I would be interested to know just how many churches we have represented here, different churches. Maybe you could stand up and just say what church you're from.
Rochester Assembly of God.
Rochester AG. Is there anybody else from Rochester AG? Yep, there you go. Welcome. And you know them?
I know them.
What? Any other church?
Harvest Bible Chapel.
Harvest Bible. Good, welcome. Because you don't have to go to a church to be here. So there's three, and then Destiny, and then there's some of you that are from other, maybe a Bible study or something. Where are you guys from?
Here.
Oh, okay. Okay, welcome. And then, okay. Come on in. You know, hearing the voice of God is really foundational for us. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And I find it really interesting. He didn't say, my lambs hear my voice. You know, so what he's saying to us through that is that it's something we grow into. And the older we get, hopefully the clearer we can hear his voice. But it's a process that we're all on. Some of us have been hearing God's voice since we can remember, you know, when we were little kids. And that is so cool. That wasn't the case for me. I was the one in my 20s and 30s that says, well, God speaks to everyone else. But, you know, God speaks to my wife, you know. But he doesn't seem to speak to me at all, you know. And so I felt that I wasn't hearing his voice much at all. And it's because I didn't understand how he talked. You know, and so that's what I would say. And it really wasn't until I stopped saying that and started saying the opposite, which Scripture says is true, that God speaks to me all the time. And even though I didn't believe in my head right away, but it's amazing. Once I started saying that and believing that, I started being opened up to more ways that God spoke. And I found, oh my, he speaks to me a lot. He likes me. You know, but before that, I really didn't know that. So that's one of the reasons this class is so important. We had to schedule in the back. I don't know if you grabbed one. You don't really need it. You just show up because it's tentative, and sometimes the classes get swapped a little bit here and there. In fact, I didn't even read that schedule to see if it's close to what I was going to do. But most of the subjects that are in there, we usually cover in this class. So we will try to start right at 6:30 if possible. I will always have 2 hours worth of stuff that I'm gonna say or we're gonna do. And so if we can get going right at 6:30, that'll help us get that done in that time. We're going to be doing some practicing. I call it, my wife hates when I use that word, practice. But see, God doesn't consider us practicing. You know, it just helps us to do it if I say practice, because he loves to talk, and while we're practicing, he's doing the real thing, and he's giving us stuff for each other. And so sometimes that can get a little scary. I'm going to be asking you to do what some of you might be a little bit fearful of doing at first. And so I would just say, just say, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm not going to call you up front and have you do things, not too often. We'll start slow. But it's amazing what God does when we say, okay, I'm going to trust you to speak to me now for this other person. And so, but if you can hang in there during those practice times, you'll do great. If you'd like to, I used to have a bunch of them. I don't right now. There is one book that teaches most of what we cover here in these 7 weeks, Chris Vallotton's book, Supernatural Lifestyle. I had the pleasure of being under Chris's teachings before he wrote this book, and so I used some of his stuff from teachings he had, and then he put everything he taught about this subject in a book. So Supernatural Lifestyle by Chris Vallotton. So if you want to dig in a little deeper, get a little bit of reinforcement for what I'm teaching, it's a great book to get. You can get it on Amazon. And so, yeah, I recommend that book. I also want to say that during the classes here, except for next week, which I'll talk about next week, I encourage you to ask questions. You know, if there's something, I'm not bothered by questions. I might finish my sentence or my paragraph or whatever I'm on when I see your hand up, but I'm more encouraged by questions than discouraged by questions, okay? And I'm not afraid of questions, even if I don't know the answer, I'll tell you. We are going to try to record all these sessions, which we haven't done for a while. So Dan has got a microphone, so if you have a question, raise your hand, and then he'll bring it over to you, the mic, so you can speak in that just for the recording. The last time we recorded this, we didn't do that, and so there's these long pauses, and then I start talking again, and no one knows what I'm talking about because I'm answering a question. So we thought we'd do it right. And also, if this is just for the class here. If you happen to miss a session, we do have the first four of them online. We're recording like I just told you about, though. But if you go to destinyrochester.com, under the Ministries tab, you'll see Hearing God under there. If you click on that, there'll be a page there about this class, and there's you'll see all seven or six messages we teach there, and four of them will be a different color. Those are the ones you can click on and actually listen to them. Now, we don't tell people about those classes so much unless you're in the class, because we don't really want people just listening to them, because we think most of the class is about what we experience here. And so, but if you happen to miss one, you'll want to catch up on that, especially the first two. Tonight and I think tomorrow, next week is probably the most important class we're going to teach. So you want to catch those two. They're the foundation that we build on for the rest. How many of you had this class before? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Great. We have people, in fact, Brad isn't here. Brad's taken this class every time we've done it for the last 5 years. I don't know where he is. He must be on vacation or something. So I love it when we have someone who's taken the class before. Because number one, I'd like you guys who've taken the class, when we do get in groups, mix up as much as you can. And because what you already know will help in all the small groups that we do. So, okay. Dan is our ministry coordinator at our church here for, we call it the Advanced Prophetic. This class we considered, you know, the foundation that we build on. But then Dan does all kinds of other stuff, dream interpretation. They teach that. They prophesy over people at the end of our service. We have a corner just for them. And he does a lot of other classes after this. So you'll get to know Dan quite a bit. When you're done with this class, you may want to join with Dan in doing other things. It kind of reinforces everything we've done, and you can go farther, far more, just in hearing God's voice. Ed, you know, he's from Rochester AG, but he shows up here once in a while at the end of our service here to hang out with us when we do the prophetic ministry, just because he wants to learn. You took the class in the spring, and so you can do that, and you don't have to join our church. You know, we like to just bless everyone that we can. So anything we do, we'll invite you to be part of, even if you're not part of our church. And then bring it back to your church. Ron Peterson from Salem Road Covenant Church, he's one of the leaders there. And he took our class years ago, and then he's been back to it 2-3 times since then. And not only that, he's taken all my notes. Not the notes there, but the note, my notes. And then he's IBM them, and because he's an IBMer, and IBM then. So he has PowerPoints. He does all this fancy stuff, and he teaches at his church. So that's just wonderful. That's what we want to see. We want to see it taught everywhere. So there's been a few people that have taught this at their church as a result of this class. So there's lots you can do. But Dan, would you want to come on up and just pray for us before we start? And
you heard this long pause.
Yeah, right.
Thank you. Test, am I on?
It's green.
Green means go. Okay. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to learn to hear your voice better in the many languages and ways you speak to us that we're not even aware of. So we open our hearts right now to hear you in a new way. We know you speak through your word, the Bible, but you're even bigger than your book. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and touch our hearts now. We open our hearts to receive everything you have to give to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So you can keep that. So tonight I'm going to talk about how God speaks. Next week is what God is saying. That's a nice way to say it. We're going to talk about grace versus the law, that we're in the New Testament, not the old. Again, that's, I think, the most important one. And then the third week, we're going to talk about how we hear. Have you ever talked to somebody and said something to them, and they go away telling someone else what you said, and it's not what you said?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you before? Well, that happens with us in our relationship with God. It's amazing how many times God will say the same thing to different people, and you'll come up with a whole different thing that he said. And it's not because he said it differently, it's because we hear differently. And so we want to be able to make sure that we hear the same way someone who's living in heaven hears. And so that we don't distort or twist what God is saying to us. So the third week, we talk about core values and certain ones that are important to get us to hear correctly. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. That's a fun week. And we'll go a little bit into the day of Pentecost and some of the things that happened there. And we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about identity. How many know that a servant will expect his master to say different things to him than a son will? And so if we don't know who we are, then that it really hinders us being able to hear God's voice. Because in Christ, we're his kids, and he just loves us, and he loves to talk to us. So we need to know who we are. And then the sixth week, we're going to talk about healing. And we're going to do it a whole different way than probably what you've known in the past. And teach a model that you can or you don't have to use, but we're going to tie everything together with that. We're going to try to hear God's voice and what he's saying about healing and then try to do it and see what he does. When I go to Guyana in the jungle there and taught that class, we always practice, you know, at the end of every class if we have time. And everyone got healed down there, everywhere we taught it. It was just amazing. But this is even more amazing because you've heard stories like that probably your whole life. Yeah, this missionary over in this weird country, you know, all these miracles happened, you know. And then it comes to your church and nothing happens. You know, so we've heard that, you know. But the neat thing is in this country in the last 5-10 years, we've been seeing 50% of the people we prayed for in environments like that get healed. So it's getting more and more fun. It's getting more and more Bible. That'll be our sixth week. And then the seventh week, most of you will consider that the best week of all, because we will invite anybody who's taken this class before. Dan will send out an email to all of them and invite them here to pray and to prophesy and to get words for you. And so we call it the night of impartation, where you can just record and write and see what God is saying. And it's a fun night. It gives everyone who's been through the class some a chance to grow in their hearing God's voice themselves, and then it gives us a chance to all get blessed. So that'll be the 7 weeks. And so a while back, I was in Redding, California. We're real close friends with Bill Johnson and that whole church called Bethel in Redding. And I was out there for a conference, and it was a prophetic conference. And we had about an hour between some sessions, and I really didn't want to go anywhere, and I wasn't hungry. And they have this great chapel there that windows on three sides, and there's mountains on three sides. I mean, it's just like you're walking into heaven. You feel like in this place, and plus you walk in and you feel the presence of God, and people are praying. And so I thought, I'm just going to go there. So I figured I had about a half hour before I had to get out of there. So I go in the chapel and I go lay down on the floor, and I close my eyes. And I'm not sure why I said this, but it must have been something I heard in the last session. But I close my eyes and I says, Lord, teach me all your languages. And he spoke to me. Internally, I could hear him. He spoke to me. He says, Rod, I have thousands of them. And so I said, well, teach me all of them. You know? And by this time, just hearing his voice like that, that's all. You just start to melt anyway. And, oh, teach me all of them. And I had my eyes closed, and I felt someone come and lay their hands on my chest. And I felt just like liquid love, just loving on me. And it felt just amazing. And I was laying there for 3 or 4 minutes, and then that person was still praying for me. And finally, the desire to find out who was praying for me got greater than my, you know, what I was in. And so I thought, I'm just going to open up my eyes. And I opened up my eyes, and there wasn't anybody there. But I still felt a hand on my chest. It was so cool. And I thought maybe 3 minutes went by, and I looked up at the clock, and a half hour had gone by. In that time that I thought was 15 minutes. I still don't know all that happened during the half hour, because it felt like 3 minutes. But I do know this, is that God really loved me. I could feel that. And he does have a whole lot of ways that he speaks. And so we're going to talk about some of those ways tonight. And this is what I've found. As we talk about them, it starts to open us up to ways that God speaks that we didn't know about. And then we start looking for it, and we go, oh my, he's speaking to me that way too. And so we start to hear him in different ways in other places. And that gets pretty exciting when we start hearing his voice like that. So God wants us to know his voice. But I probably should say this first, in that it's important to know this. God's number one language is not English. And it's not Spanish, and it's not Hebrew either. And those aren't even his second languages. But most of the time, God speaks in ways that we with a Western mindset have a hard time to understand. Jesus said in John 4:24, by the way, I have all the scriptures in your notes that I'll be reading. And I'm sorry, we usually have tables in front of us, but we needed to come in here. So you'll have to struggle writing sometimes in the air or whatever you do. But does anybody need a pen? I forgot to ask that. Does anybody need a pen? We have a bunch. You would need a pen? Bill, do you want to bring some out? So raise your hand high if you need a pen. If you don't have one, just... So John 4:24, Jesus says this. He says, God is spirit, and those who worship him... Or we could say this. Those who worship, or those who communicate with him, must worship or communicate in spirit and in truth. See, God is spirit, so God communicates at a higher level than his earthly creation. Let me give you an example of that. How many know how whales sound? Ever see a nature show and know how whales sound? Ed, can anybody make that sound? Do you know how it sounds? You can more than one. That's good. So let's everyone do that.
Okay.
Yeah, we've all heard different nature shows, but we're getting it. Come on, you're doing good. This is kind of an indication of how good the class is going to go right here. Great job. Now, scientists are studying that. And they actually think it's a language, you know, they make a certain sound and the whale's saying, hey, I found food, you know, or circle up, or, you know, let's have fun, you know. There, someday they'll be able to stick some speakers down under there and talk to these whales because they know it's some type of language. They communicate to each other, you know, how they sound. So it is a language, but that the way we just sounded there, that's how English sounds to God. He understands it, he can speak it, and he can speak to us in that language. But see, God is spirit, and he communicates most of the time at actually a higher level than an earthly language. See, we are spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. Do you know we can pray at all three of those levels? See, I can pray from my spirit. So I'll pray for Ryan here from my spirit. And it would sound something like this. Yomasita ramakati andara mosondo romokosita ramakati undo romoko. Now, I didn't use my mind. I'm just praying from my spirit. That's praying in tongues. Or I can pray from my mind. And I go, Lord, I just pray you'd bless Ryan and bring him into your presence. I pray you bring him up into the heavenly places, God, where he can see those things in heaven and bring them to earth and be a blessing to everyone around him. So I can pray from my mind. And sometimes you can just feel a prayer. Have you ever had, it's hard to put words on it, you just feel a prayer. So I'm praying from my emotions. So we are spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. But from the time we were born, our communication is limited by a Western mindset. Well, what's that mean? Western mindset, rationalistic, materialistic. This is what I mean by that. We expect God to speak to our bodies. We expect to hear him in English or any other language you may know. We expect to hear that language. We expect him to touch us some way. We expect to smell something, see something. That's how Western mindset thinks. And if we don't get it that way, then we don't expect God speaking to us. Let me give you an example of how Western mindset would think. Right now in this room, right at this moment, there is music playing and there's visions happening. And a Western mindset will go, come on, Rod. You know, listen, there's no music. You know, I don't see any visions and nothing's happening. But see, I could prove it to you. If I brought into this room a television and a radio. See, if I brought those in, I could plug them in, and because a television takes these waves in this room, which are now digital. They're in this room, and it converts them into something we can see and something we can hear. And a radio takes these waves that are flying around the room, we can't see them, but they're here. And it takes them and converts them into something that we can, you know, our ears can recognize. So we are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. Our five senses, our body, is the link and the receiver between the physical world and our minds. Our spirit is the link or the receiver between the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, we could say, and our minds. And then our brain has to take from both of those sources. Our spirit and our body takes those things and analyzes those things so we can understand it. And this is where things get all messed up for us. That get all messed up for us mainly because of our Western mindset. Because our Western mindset says if it's not coming in from my five senses, if that's not where I'm getting it from, then it's just me. That's why the devil can masquerade as us really well. And he'll say things like, I'm feeling lousy today. And then the next thing we'll say, I'm feeling lousy today. See, because actually it's coming from four different sources in that realm, in the spiritual realm. There's four different sources. First, it can be our mind. We speak into that realm. Our spirit speaks into that realm. It might be our mind. But the second, it can be the devil or demons. And they usually masquerade as God or masquerade as us. They're not going to, especially for Christians, they're not going to say, I'm the devil. You know, the minute they do, we just cut them off. But it'll masquerade. And then angels can speak to us from that realm. And then God speaks to us from that realm. As we grow in the Lord and as we grow in our relationship with Him, we start to discern. You know, whether those voices we're hearing is coming from the devil, coming from angels, coming from ourselves, coming from God. And once we can start to discern where it's coming from, then what we do is we tune our receivers, our spiritual receiver, to connect with God. Oh, that was His voice. Turn that to get that voice a little bit louder, you know? And then we start to hear Him better. That's why psychics, when a psychic gets saved, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you. Maybe you've met someone and they're a psychic. They're one of these weird people and they get saved. And within a day, it's like they take off way beyond you. They're having visions, dreams. They're hearing God speak audibly and you're going, I've been serving God for 20 years and that's never happened. This person who's really weird now gives his life to Jesus and is hearing all this stuff from God. That's not right. No, it is right. It's just that they've always been connected to the spiritual realm. They've already trained themselves. They've just been listening to the devil. So they give their life to Jesus. They turn their receiver to God. And bam. Sometimes we need to get jealous a little bit. So what does it mean to hear God's voice? It means that I have the ability to transform the Spirit's voice, what we hear in the spiritual realm, into a human voice that can be heard. Now, all of us have that gift to some degree because God made us that way because He wants us to hear Him. We all do. So we're going to look at some of the ways that God speaks. Again, I call it the languages of God. In the first category of languages, I call them divine impressions, and I put four things in that category. The first is what I call spontaneous thoughts. Some may call that a still small voice. I like the word spontaneous thoughts better because usually when God speaks to us in a spontaneous thought, it usually is not in English. Or in Spanish or any other language you might be familiar with. And the reason I say they don't come in English is just they're usually just not spoken that way. So God is spirit and He speaks to our spirit. So when He's speaking to us in a spontaneous thought, He's not going to use words or syllables. You won't see sentence structure. You won't see paragraphs. Maybe the best way to describe it is this. It's like, you know. You just know. Didn't hear any words at all, but you just know. Maybe you know something about someone. Maybe you know something about yourself you didn't know before. Maybe you know something about God you didn't know before. But it really wasn't said in words. It just almost sounds like your own inward thoughts, only it's, you know, because it's so fast. Let me give you an example. And the easiest way to understand this is in a word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge, which we'll get to in 4 weeks, is when God speaks something to you that you didn't know before, and all of a sudden you know it. You know, so that's a word of knowledge. knowledge. And there was one time, this is quite a few years back, I was new pastor at a church up in the Twin Cities. I was an assistant pastor. I had been going to that church since it started, but all of a sudden now I'm on pastoral staff, and we had just purchased a new old building. It was a very old building. And it had this boiler in it that it was a steam boiler. It was the size of your kitchen at home. You know, it's huge, just massive thing, and it had pipes and gauges and valves everywhere. You know, it looked like one of those horror movies of stuff. You know, that's how it was, and it wasn't working. And we didn't have hardly any money. We're an inner city church, and so the pastor looks at me. I used to be an electrical engineer, so they think electrical engineers know a lot. But you know, yeah, right. I didn't know anything, especially about steam boilers. I'd never even never saw one like that even. And so he turns to me and he says, "Ron, I want you to get that thing running and then teach us so we know how to run the thing." I go, okay, next week, you know, I'm thinking. And so then Sunday comes, and I hadn't done anything yet on it. I was going to try to do something the next week. And we're praying before the church service. There's probably 40 of us in the room. We're all holding hands, and we're praying for the church service. My mind's on church, and I'm praying for the church service. And while I'm praying, in like a three-second time frame, I'm praying about the church. My mind isn't thinking about the boiler. That's the last thing I wanted to think about on Sunday morning. But I'm praying, and I get a download, and all of a sudden, I understand everything about the boiler. I saw steam traps. I didn't know steam traps existed. I didn't know they had, but I saw them and how they worked in the system. I saw how the whole system worked. I knew how it all worked. Later on that week, I went to the library, and I found a book on my boiler, and I already knew it's like 3-4 chapters. And I was able to figure it all out and do all that. But it started with God gave a spontaneous thought, and all of a sudden I knew. I didn't hear any words. I just knew. When I used to be an electrical engineer, I thought I was just having good days back then, because I didn't think God spoke to me much. You ever have a good day where you're just really smart? It's probably God. Because there would be times I'd be in situations on the job where I did not know the answer. I just didn't. And all of a sudden, oh, it's so clear. I know what to do. And now I'm looking back at, God spoke to me there. He just spoke to me in a spontaneous thought. I thought I was just smart. But it wasn't me, because I didn't have the background or didn't even to know some of these decisions. When I'm writing, preparing messages, you know, I'm the type that I don't know what I'm going to do next week. But every week I get just before God. And once in a while he'll give me a series, but not very often. Usually it's every week saying, God, what do you want me to teach? Holy Spirit, what's on your heart today for this week? You know, and sometimes I'll wait days. You know, I'll continue doing stuff, other stuff while I'm praying and waiting. And all of a sudden, you know, somehow he'll speak to me. And one time he told me this, because I keep all my old messages in file cabinets and stuff. And he said this, I just heard him, third drawer down, a third of the way back, and you'll see it. And I pull it out, third of the way back, and then something just stands out, you know, in my file cabinet. And that's what I'm supposed to preach. You know, he'll speak to me that way. One time, and I remember it so clear, because I had been praying all day to what he wanted me to preach, and nothing. Did you ever get that way? You ask God, nothing? Okay, and so it was nothing. And then I finally says, my brain had shut down. And so I'm going home. It's about 5 o'clock, and so I get in my car, and on my way home from the office, there was a railroad tracks, and I remember it distinctly because of this. My front tires hit the railroad tracks, and God starts downloading in me a message. And by the time my rear tires hit the tracks, I had the whole thing, the whole message. It's like, you know, stop the car, right? You know, because boom, you just get it. It's spontaneous thought. That happens. So this has happened, I bet you, every one of us in this room. You're in a situation. Someone comes up to you, and they have a problem. And they start telling you their problem. And this happens to me all the time. I'm sure it must happen to you. And as I'm listening to their problem, I'll be smiling, shaking my head, you know, because I want to be nice. But inside I'm going, God, I have no idea how to help this person. You know, and does that ever happen to you? Yeah, and so you're praying desperate on the inside, and the outside, you're just going, you know, like, I've heard this before. If you haven't heard it before, this is like beyond you. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you'll get a scripture verse, or God will give you just a word of wisdom or something for them, and you're surprised even as you say it, and it speaks to their problem and what God spoke to you in a spontaneous thought. Does it all the time. So at first, when God speaks to us that way, we will think it's just us. It comes so naturally, so normally, that you'll think that you're just having a great day. I've known Christians that have been saved for 20 or 30 years, and they've said all their life, God doesn't speak to me. And all of a sudden, you know, they'll hear this, and then the next week, God will speak to them this way. And they'll put the two together. Oh, wait, was that God? And, yeah, that was God. And then the minute they put the two together, they'll look back, wait a minute, God spoke to me that way, back there, and back there, and back there. And they'll realize God has been speaking to them their whole life that way. They just didn't know it. Just thought they were having a good day. Now, there's a key in discerning these spontaneous thoughts. The first thing is this. When God speaks to us this way, there'll always be something else that comes with it. It just won't be the knowledge itself. And in fact, if you don't look for it, you won't notice it. But if you hear something like that and then look for it, you will notice it's always there. But you will feel His presence in some way. You might just get the feeling of a peace. You might feel the feeling that everything is just going to be okay. Some people get little tinglies. They get almost a physical feeling. Sometimes you might get a feeling that you're loved. That you've been accepted, you know, that you might have been weary before. All of a sudden, you're not weary. And everything's under control. You know, you'll get some type of heaven, in a sense, will touch you in some way. And if you look for it, you'll see it there. You'll feel it there. And then if you feel pushed or condemned, like do this or I'll be mad at you or something like that, that's never God. Always set that one aside. Put it in the back burner, way in the back. Because God really loves us. And when He wants us to do something, He's still so kind. He doesn't push us. That'll be the devil always, if you feel pushed or condemned. The second thing we need to do is we need to compare the thought that we had with the Bible. You know, if it doesn't connect and if it contradicts the Bible in any way, then you'll need to reject that. And finally, I think it's good that we all have a real godly friend. I think it's good that every one of us have someone in your life that you trust more than yourself. No matter how long we've been saved. And then when you get a thought like that, run it by them. And if they just can't connect with that, put it on a back burner for a while. You know, if it's God, he'll keep bringing it up, and he'll make it clear, and he'll even speak to your friend. You know, Les has a saying that he said, I've heard him say so many times to me, Les Holman, he's one of the elders here, and I'll say something, and he'll go, I don't know, brother. You know, not right away. I know, I got to put that one on a back burner. Just bam, it's back in that burner, you know, because I trust him. And I rely on him. And if I start to ask him, he's real right brain. So if I start to ask him, well, why are you feeling that way? He'll go, I don't know. He won't be able to put it together logically because he hears differently than I do. And I depend on that, the fact that he hears. I hear logically far more. But I depend on people who don't because, you know, they can get way ahead of me in understanding these things. So I surround myself with people that I trust. And I'll run things by them all the time. So the neatest thing about this is you don't have to be a prophet to hear God's voice this way. You don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to hear God's voice this way. And I'm convinced that you don't even have to be saved to hear God's voice this way. See, there's a term of the covenant that we first saw, you first see in Jeremiah chapter 31, when Jeremiah is looking ahead to see all the things that Jesus would accomplish. And one of the terms of the new covenant was going to be, it'll be, and they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest. In other words, because of what Jesus has done, at another place, Peter says he's going to pour out his Spirit on all mankind. You know, so this is what that means. We can't earn it. We can't earn the right to hear his voice, because he gives it for free because of what Jesus did. So the neat thing about that is I depend on that when I'm talking to unsaved people. I expect God to speak to them all the time. I went over 2 years ago, my neighbor, a year and a half ago, actually, I went over to my neighbor. He was 88 years old. His wife had died about 6 months before that, and I went to visit him, and he happened to have his Bible open. I'd never seen him have a Bible before, and so he invited me in. His Bible was on the couch, and I said to him, I says, well, so you're reading the Bible, huh? He says, oh, that was my wife's Bible. He says, I haven't read the Bible my whole life. And he told me, I've been a terrible person. I've never been to church, never read the Bible. But today, I saw my wife's Bible over there, and I felt I was supposed to read it. And so here's a totally unsaved guy. So I thought, I'm going to test this. Why not? And so I told him, I'm going to just humor me for a little bit. I'm going to just want you to do something for me. And so I had him close his eyes, and I said to him, just picture Jesus in your imagination and let me know when you see him. Just lift up your hand. And so it took about 30 seconds, and he lifts up his hand. And I says, okay, now just walk up to him and see what he says and see what he does. And so I'm sitting there, and he's really quiet. And then all of a sudden tears start coming down his eyes as I'm watching him. Here's an 88-year-old guy who just happened to pick up the Bible that day, knows he's a terrible person, knows he's lived a terrible life. Tears down his eyes. And so finally I said, well, tell me what's happening. And he says, Jesus told me he loves me and he forgives me. Now, doesn't that sound like Jesus?
Yeah.
So I'm just talking to him last week, and it's been a year and a half since then, and we talk often, and he's... I didn't know this, but he's read his Bible twice since that time. And he had all kinds of questions about the book of Revelation. And so do we. So I was able to get him a book. It's called Victorious Eschatology. It's a great book if you want to study end times. And so I gave that to him a week ago. He's in his second time reading that. He's just hungry for God. But all that says this, is that, you know, I could have shared with him the whole gospel story. I could have preached for hours and hours, but I would not have had the impact of just letting him have a time with Jesus. And Jesus is free. He's already paid the price, so anybody can walk him to him freely. So we can all hear his voice, and we can expect that. So we can take time to listen for him. And now, when I take time to listen for him, I don't hear him all the time. But I do hear him lots. And amazing, sometimes in really amazing ways. So God loves speaking to us. And just to encourage us, I have a quote from Jack Deere from his book, Surprised by the Voice of God, which is a great book, by the way. He says, the only person who hears God's voice well is the person who hears it poorly, but does not give up. Doesn't that give us hope? And he says, I have found that if I expect his voice, if I really need his voice, if I am diligent in learning how to recognize his voice, he speaks to me regularly and sometimes in amazing ways. In fact, I have come to count on the voice of God so to such a degree that I can no longer conceive of trying to live the Christian life without it. So that's where God wants us all to be. So God often speaks to us in a spontaneous thought, giving us a way out of temptation. Sometimes he just loves on us with a spontaneous thought. Sometimes he gives us words of knowledge, words of wisdom that way. So he's For me, that's the number one way he speaks. For you, it might be other things, which we'll get to, but for me, it's the number one. So we're going to practice here to doing that, so I need a volunteer. Someone who hasn't had the class before. Those who have had the class would have their hands up in the air already. Because they know.
Oh. Okay. Do you want me to stay here?
Nope. You need to come on up. You told me your name too, and I can't remember.
Melissa.
Melissa, just stand right here. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna ask God to give us a spontaneous thought for Melissa. But let me give this guideline first. Remember when Jesus first met Peter and Nathanael, and we know a lot about Peter, and we know what Nathanael had just said before he came to Jesus. You know, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. And I was like saying, if this is your hometown, nothing good comes out of Rochester. He's talking about you, you know. And that's what Nathanael had just said. And Jesus says, I saw you under that tree. So he knew. But when he sees Peter, what he says to Peter is he looks beyond the junk in Peter, and he says, oh, your name's Simon. That's not a good name for you. I'm going to call you Peter, which means rock. Now, to your women, that doesn't mean much, but to a guy, to have Jesus call you the rock, I mean, that's quite a compliment. I mean, he's looking for the gold in him. And then Nathanael, you know, we knew what he did. He says, oh, you're a man with no guile. You're an honest man. So he compliments him too. So that's what we're going to do with Melissa here. We're going to ask God to give us something good, how he sees her. Okay? And it might be just one word. It might, you know, however God speaks to you. But I expect he's going to say something nice. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Melissa. And even more than that, Lord, we thank you for your tremendous love for us. And so right now, Lord, I pray that you'd give us just a little bit of your heart of love for Melissa and how you see her so that we can tell her what you think. In Jesus' name, amen. So just shout it out if you have something for Melissa.
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy.
Gentle spirit.
Gentle spirit.
Open.
Open.
Cheerful.
Cheerful.
Teddy bear.
Teddy bear. That's cool.
Kind-hearted.
Kind-hearted.
Pure.
Pure. How does this feel so far?
Well, good, of course.
Compassionate.
Compassionate.
Peaceful.
Peaceful.
Worthy.
Worthy.
Springy.
Springy.
Augustine.
Did you see a picture of that? Yeah. A lot of times when we first start doing that, the first thing that comes to mind is usually what God is saying. But then what we typically do is we start analyzing it. And the longer we analyze, the more I can't be God. And so then we don't say anything. But if you say it right away, you'll find most time that's the thing that God is saying. So if you got something like a minute ago or 2 minutes ago, that's what you need to say right now.
Loved.
Loved.
Just get that somewhere along in your past someone tried to stomp out God's light, and he's proud that you didn't let it go out.
Cool.
Which goes with my chandelier?
Chandelier. How many lights were on that?
Lots.
So, Leah, why don't you come on up and grab the mic, and What we usually like to do after we get words for them is we like to pray for them and kind of, like, you can't remember everything that was said, but try to remember some of that things that God said and then bless them with that and pray that into their lives. So go ahead, you can do that.
Lord, we just thank you so much for Melissa. Father, we thank you for the light that she shines to everybody. Lord, we bless her in her joy. We bless her in the love that you have for her. Father, we just release her in your love. We release her in your goodness. Father, we just bless it and seal it over her in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next thing is under the category of divine impressions is visions. For me, this is God's second language. He speaks to me quite a bit that way. Now, there was a time that I didn't, in fact, all the way up until I was 36, I never got a vision, although I may have gotten many of them. I just didn't realize that. But now it's usually the second way. And visions, they also come without words. They're a picture language, and of course, the picture language can say far more than words anyway, because one picture is worth a thousand words, you know. And so many of us naturally think in visions anyway. And if you naturally think that way, and that's typically the right brain, will think a lot in pictures, then you'll probably get more visions. I like to use Les as an example because he's a strange example because he also was electrical and engineer just like me, and most electrical engineers are left-brained, and he's not. He's right-brained, and so sometimes he's even talking and I have no idea what he's saying. he's in that room right there, so he can probably hear me. And so what I do is I say, God, show me the picture he's talking from so I can understand. Because typically someone who's right-brained like that, they're way ahead of you. You think they're behind you because logic would say that. But no, they're usually way ahead of you. And they already got to the answer, and you're just figuring out the steps. And so I often ask God to give me the picture he's thinking of. He's quite amazing. But if you are right brained, if you think in pictures, you will get more visions, because God seems to speak to us most in the area of our natural gifting. So if you are right brained like I'm, if you're logical and that kind of thing, you'll probably get more spontaneous thoughts. If you're more artistic and more free flowing and that stuff, you'll probably get more visions. Because God really wants us to hear him. He really does. So he knows us really well, and he knows the way we can hear him the best. Now, there's two kinds of visions. The first one is where a picture just flashes in your mind. And by the way, this is the most common. And with this kind, because it's a picture that just flashes in your mind, if you're not used to this, you will think you're making it up. You know, because your mind can do that too. And so you'll think, well, why in the world am I thinking that? You know, I wasn't even going that direction at all. All of a sudden this thing flashes your mind. And you're usually rejected thinking, I just, you know, must have came with that burp. I don't know. But it's you won't think it's God. Active imagination today or something you'll think. And that kind of vision, it can be black and white. It can be color. It's usually fast. It's usually quick. A lot of times there's not much movement. If there is, it's fast. Let me give you an example of how that vision would look like. If I were to say to you that there was a huge purple elephant carrying me, what just happened in your minds? You saw an elephant. Mm-hmm. How many saw an elephant? Mm-hmm. Purple. How was it carrying me, by the way?
You were wrapped up in the trunk.
I was wrapped up in the trunk? I was on its back? Yeah. That's exactly how a vision from God will look. people think, oh, that I just made that up. But that's exactly how a vision from God will look. First time I had a vision, I told you I was 36 years old, and first time at least that I knew I had one, I probably had them tons, but I was, me and another guy were praying for this lady after a church service. And, you know, there's a bunch of people praying up there. So I put my hand on this lady, and I have my eyes closed. Says, God, just show me what to pray. And all of a sudden, in my mind, I see this tiger in a cage. And the cage is like 10 foot by 10 foot. It's got a ceiling on it of ball bars. And this tiger is running fast as it can, those 10 feet, and jumping and smashing into the bars and then sliding down the bars and running the other side, you know, and it's just boom, I saw it and it was over. And then I saw another vision, and it was the same tiger walking next to its trainer, just pushing against his leg, real relaxed, no leash, and they were just walking together. And so the first thing I did is I started rebuking myself. Rod, you're praying for a lady. Get your mind on what you're doing. And so I was doing that for a while, you know, and trying to get that thing out of my mind because I was praying for this lady. And then all of a sudden the thought came, maybe that was God. And so I turned my heart to the Lord and I says, God, was that you? And bam, just like that, I understood the whole thing and how it applied to this lady. And so I was able to share it with her, and I was still new at that stuff. You know, now I know that you usually don't have to share the vision. You just share what God is saying through it. But I shared it with her, and I was able to minister. She was blessed. I was really blessed. But see, I got an example how God spoke to me in the language of visions, and then he translated it with the language of spontaneous thoughts. I just knew. So I got to hear him twice. That's cool. You know, because then whenever you connect with God, there's just nothing better than that. Another kind of vision is when we can see the vision with our physical eyes. Some people would call that an open vision. And this is where you're just going about your business. You can be driving a car. You can be washing dishes. You know, you can be at work. And all of a sudden, you see it. There'll be a scripture verse that's painted in front of your eyes. Or maybe like a movie, you'll see it in front of you. And that's called an open vision. Now, that kind of vision, usually you won't think you're making up. That's pretty clear. It's distinct. I mean, you're right there. And it actually will be as real as everything else around you. Connie had a vision once. We're at another church. It was during worship. And there was this couple in our church that had been trying to have a baby for years. And finally they went to the doctor, and the doctor said it was impossible for her to have babies. There was something wrong with her female parts where they were. It was a mess. So there was nothing they could do. She wasn't going to have babies. Well, Connie has this vision, this open vision, where she sees Karen and she sees a hand go into her stomach area and like move things around. And it was a powerful vision. She just sees it right in front of her. So she comes up to me, what should I do? And I said, I think God wants you to pray for her. And so she went and prayed for her. And a month later, she's pregnant. And she had that, and then she had two other ones. She had three kids after that, and they're all healthy. And so God was telling Connie what he was going to do, and then Connie co-labored with God in a sense, and then prayed it into her what God had spoken in that vision. I think most of the time when people say God spoke to me, it's usually spontaneous thought or a vision. That's the two most common ways that God speaks to people. So I need another volunteer, someone who hasn't had class. Oh, you volunteered last time. You might as well just come. So I forgot your name again. Now my mind went blank. Kathy. Okay, now I remember. So we're going to, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask God to give us a vision, a picture for Kathy. Now, typically when we get a vision, it's symbolic, but we're not going to try to analyze the picture at all right now. That's for another time maybe. But what we want to do is just practice getting a picture. So I'm going to pray, And then, again, usually the first picture you get, you know how they can flash through your mind so fast? Usually it's the first picture you get that's the one that the Holy Spirit is saying. So I just want you to shut it up. So, Lord, we thank you so much for Kathy, and thank you for your tremendous love for her and how you've handpicked her for just this moment in this time. And Lord, we want to be just part of what you're doing and what you're saying. So we ask that you'd give us a picture, a vision of how you see her. Just give us part of your heart of love for her. In Jesus' name, amen. Start, whoever's got one.
Parakeet.
You saw a parakeet.
Atlas.
Atlas and...
As in the man holding up the world.
The man holding up the world. Wow. Boy, both those things have so much symbolism. And don't you wish we could just go on, but we're not. To explain stork. Those. Stork?
I saw somebody cheerfully making tea.
Cheerfully making tea.
The Southwest.
Southwest. Explain that.
Like a guy with a Stetson hat and wildflowers, I guess.
So it's just, like southwestern United States.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a cool picture.
So you playing hopscotch in an orange dress.
Hopscotch in an orange dress. You saw horses. Did you see horses in your picture? Yeah, he did. An unusual spinning top. Rainbow. You guys are good.
Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty. You might want to get this tape just to write those things down and let the Lord speak to you. Anybody else? Classroom setting with teacher and children. Does any of these things mean stuff to you already?
Some does.
Some? Okay.
Diamond on the head of a tack.
A diamond on the head of a tack? Take a chance. Anybody else? Yeah, what do you got? An American flag. Cool.
I just hate to say this because I don't know where it's coming from, but I heard Hail Mary, full of grace, thou art with me.
Hail Mary, full of grace, thou art with me. See, God usually gives us stuff we don't understand because he loves talking to us, so that makes us go back to him and ask questions.
Somebody trying to hurt a lot of people and Jesus coming to save them.
Huh? So who'd like to come and pray a blessing over Kathy?
Come on. Told me to raise my hand.
Sounds,
prophet, so
bring him well.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Okay, what's the name again?
Kathy.
Kathy. All right. God, we are thankful for Kathy, and you've given just an amazing array of visions, and we want to agree with those and pray into those. And Lord, you are her just everything, provider on down the line.
Yes.
So Lord, we just bless Kathy, and Lord, you are the revealer of great gifts, so help her to step into receiving those gifts. We pray and agree together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Kathy. So divine impressions can also come physically or emotionally. Typically, when God speaks to us, either physically or emotionally, it's a word of knowledge, and its purpose is to bring us to prayer, usually. That's typically, not all the time, but that's most of the time, if he speaks to us physically or emotionally. And just like when God speaks to us with a spontaneous thought or a vision, the same thing is when God speaks to us physically or emotionally, typically, maybe even more so in these categories, we think it's just coming from us. That'll be the first thought we have. Like, for instance, if we experience pain in our body, let's say all of a sudden our knee starts hurting really bad, just out of nowhere, what's the first thing that we do when our knee starts hurting really bad? We start to think, what did I do to cause this pain? And then what's the second thing we do when our knee is hurting really bad? What do I need to do to get rid of the pain, right? That's the typical response that we've learned that all our lives whenever we have pain. But it could be that God is just giving you the pain from somebody else so that you can be praying for them. We see it all the time. In fact, we see it at this church all the time. Because at the end of the service, I always give a chance. If there's the time, I always give a chance for anybody here have a word of knowledge for healing. And sometimes we'll get someone to come up and say, there's somebody here who has a pain right here, or something like that, or right here. And when they say that, typically it's because they're feeling the pain. And so they know exactly where it is. Now, you can also get a word of knowledge where you see an elbow and God wants to heal an elbow. Or if you hear elbow, you know, you can do that. But sometimes God actually gives you the pain in order to pray for somebody else. And you may start praying. You might be praying for someone in China. So the thing we need to do if we experience a pain like that. Now, if you just fell off your bike or something, and you know why you're hurting. You know, that's different. But if the pain comes out of nowhere, then oftentimes God is telling you to pray for someone else. And as you start praying, the pain will go away. Like when people come up front and say, hey, someone's got a pain here, and then they'll start praying for the person with that pain, and they'll both be healed. The pain will go away for the one that is praying for the other one, and then the other one will be healed. So again, it's typically if you get a word of knowledge this way, it is for prayer. And if you're in a situation, sometimes you might even be in a grocery store, and all of a sudden you get pain in the knee, and you turn around, and there's a guy with a knee brace there. Well, that's pretty obvious. God wants you to pray for that person. So the first thing we need to do whenever we have a pain is say, God, are you talking to me in order to pray for someone else? And if he doesn't, you know, then I would pray for a while at least, or do something like that before you grab the medicine cabinet, you know, just to see if what God is saying, what God is doing. I was down in Guyana, in a village in the jungle down there, and there was three churches that had come together to take this class. And so the pastors were sitting up front, and there was this one pastor, I wrote down his name too, I actually forgot it. Pastor Oswald. It was in this village called Manawarren. And so I'm talking about this, you know, about this feeling the pain. And he's going nuts. He's sitting next to my son. He goes, oh, I don't believe it, you know, and he's excited. And he was so loud, I had to stop the meeting, you know, and it's, okay, what's going on? And he says, that happens to me all the time. And every time it happens, I call the elders over to my house and have them cast out demons. You know, and he made the connection. He had never heard that before, that God would do something like that. And, you know, because you assume pain, devil, right? He never knew that God would. And so he was like, he was free, and he was ready to start praying for the next person. He was like, bring the pain on. You know, it had set him free from something he was doing. So it was cool. And then oftentimes, any questions? I haven't been asking because you guys can do that anytime you want. Okay. God can also speak to us emotionally. And this one is where you just feel what God is saying. You're not hearing anything, you're not seeing anything. You just feel it. And so it's not a spontaneous thought. It's actually a feeling in your body somehow. And this type of divine impression can be the most confusing. Absolutely the most confusing. And it needs the most discernment. Because when God speaks to us emotionally, it feels like our own emotions. Or maybe a better way of saying it, our emotions can feel like God. You can almost see the confusion right there. So again, when God speaks to us emotionally, we'll be thinking, oh, okay, now why am I feeling this way? You know, why am I feeling depressed? I was feeling great just a second ago. What was I thinking that caused me to feel this way? Have you ever walked in a room of people? Then you walk in and you're feeling pretty good, and then you walk in the room and all of a sudden you feel angry, or you feel frustrated, or you feel depressed, or maybe you get a lustful thought and you're thinking, what in the world? You know, and so you, now you're fighting this stuff, and you don't... Oh. Have that ever happened to you? Sure. See, what's happening is God is letting you feel somebody else in the room's stuff. Why? So you can pray for them. That used to drive my wife crazy. The worst meeting, and although she always did great at these meetings, but the worst meeting for her to go to was women's meetings. Because she'd walk in there and she'd feel everyone's stuff, and she thought it was her stuff. You know, so then she'd go home and she'd just be frustrated and wore out and tired. I'm never going to another one of those meetings. And because she didn't know, God was trying to bring her into intercession so that others could be free. There was one time I was counseling somebody and they came in and sat opposite table of me in my office. And the minute they sat down, I had this anger. I felt it. Do you ever feel anger coming right here? It's like it comes up and it wants to take over, and you try to stuff it down. You know, it's maybe, if you never felt it, that is wonderful for you. But I felt this anger come up, you know, and we're talking, and by the time we're done, and I'm trying to hold this thing down and rebuking it, I'm doing the whole thing. By the time we're done, we actually got into some verbal argument near the end of the time, and it's like, that's not me, by the way. I rarely get angry. And so he leaves, and I'm repenting all week. Oh God, you know, I thought I dealt with this in my 20s. You know, it's one of those things. You know, and what does anger? And well, we're meeting again the next week, and so we sit down. And by this time, I'm feeling pretty good. I think I've overcome this thing. And he sits down at opposite table to me, and immediately that anger's there again. And I go, God, what's the deal? And the Lord spoke to me, spontaneous thought, and says, Rod, I'm showing you his stuff. So you know how to minister to him. Now, when God shows you somebody's stuff, you don't go, you got anger there. That's not how you do it, but you start asking questions. How's it going with your wife? How's it going with your father? You know, how's life going for you? But you know the direction you need to go. So God spoke to me emotionally in order to help that guy. Eric Brennan, he goes to our church. This was years ago. He was like in his teens at the time, but he had walked into the church one Sunday. He just gets into the lobby and he feels this depression comes on him. I mean, it's a depression far beyond what he's ever felt before in his life. And he's walking into the lobby, heading towards the main room, and it's got so bad. He's, there's no way I can go to church feeling like this way. So he turns around and heads for the door. And while he's going to the door, he remembered, it was 2 weeks ago, I had preached on this. And he remembers my message that he might be feeling somebody else's stuff. So instead of going to the door, he went into the library, got alone, knelt down and started praying for somebody out there that was depressed. And after about 15 minutes, it just left him. Still doesn't know who he was praying for. But God just so typically, especially emotions, when you feel that, it's usually for intercession. And I would guess most of the time we won't even know who we're praying for. And there's another concern we need to note. Once we realize that God speaks to us this way, and if he speaks to you this way emotionally like this, I've seen people swing, like the pendulum swings, because I meet a lot of people that say, God never speaks to me. I mean, I used to say that. There's tons of people, Christians, that I know that say that. But once you realize God can speak to you emotionally, the pendulum can often swing. And now what you're hearing is, oh, God is always speaking to me. Because everything they feel now is from God. I mean, you might know someone like that. You know, and they drive their friends crazy. You know, it's like, I've had my time with them. I'm going to take a break. Because everything they feel is from God. So if you're like that, if you hear from God emotionally, then it's really important for you to provide a circle of friends around you that you trust, you know, that you can share your feelings with. And have some in that circle, at least, that don't hear from God emotionally. So that probably give you better discernment. Because that's the hardest area to discern when you're feeling God. But I'm finding it's a tremendously important area for God to speak to us. So, yeah.
So, when do you know?
Oops. We both forgot.
So, when do you know that you're picking up on a spiritual atmosphere, or that, like, God is calling you to intercession versus this is just what's going on in this environment? You know, because sometimes I don't think there is a call to intercession. It's just... So I worked at a youth shelter. So every day
you're feeling stuff. Yeah.
And sometimes God was calling me to prayer, I learned later, and sometimes not. Sometimes I just needed to do my job.
Yeah.
It's really hard to know the difference. So
you know, when you're maybe this is a good example. I've known Christians who've worked on their job for years and years, and they do the best they can on their job, but they didn't realize that Jesus wanted to work with them. And all of a sudden they realize if on their job they keep, it's not like they're staring at heaven, but they keep that connection, like they know Jesus is sitting next to them. All of a sudden their job gets amazingly better. And I think that's the same way with us. If we can keep our ear and our heart, in a sense, connected to Jesus, then whatever situation we're in, at that moment, will be, God, is that you? Is that you? Is that you? And so there's this constant communication going on, and then he trains us. And he actually does a really good job. And you'll find this, when God gives you something about somebody, I usually don't say anything to them until I feel the Father's love for them. And then he often has us say it in a way that is different than how we heard it. But if you wait for the Father's love, then you deliver it to the person on a platter of the Father's love, and there's power there to set the person free. If you just say it because you heard it, you might miss that. So I would, okay, is this something I'm praying about, or is this something, and if you feel that love for that person, then, okay, what do you want me to say to them? That would be the best thing I could say, but it's a fun process learning that, you know, what Jesus wants you to say. And you'll make, you know, we make mistakes, so many have made mistakes, and then, you know, and then, okay, next time, Lord, I'm going to wait for your love. Brian Fenimore, I love what he said. The first time he came here, this is back in 96, I think. Brian teaches here a lot. And the first thing he said is he talked about the platter of the Father's love. And that you get these amazing things for people, but don't say it yet. You wait until you feel that love for them. And then say it, and it's quite amazing. Let me tell you this story, and I'm revealing a whole lot about myself. But there was one time at a church service. It was actually back when we were at Salem Road. And a bunch of people came forward for prayer. And I love almost everyone. Just naturally. But a bunch of people came forward. And there was this one guy who came forward that I really was struggling with. I really was. He had said some things to me and did some things. I just was struggling with him. And, well, turns out he's the only guy that someone is not praying for. And I didn't like him. I'm not proud of that. Okay, it's a funny story for me now, but so that's why I'm laughing. But I'm not proud of that. But so I'm saying, God, I don't want to pray for him, you know. And I'm waiting for someone to come somewhere and pray for him. And he's just standing there alone. And so finally, I end up going to pray for him. And I said, Lord, what do you got? What do you got for him? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I felt this love for him. Just tremendous love. And in that love was a word for him, a word that I would have never thought of. And so I give him this word, and it was amazing. I would have liked to have gotten that word. You know, it was that good. You know, it was a good word. And I give it to him, and he gets blessed, and he walks away. And immediately when he walks away, that love left. I know. And it showed a whole lot about me, didn't it? You know, I better seek the Lord for that love, because I don't want that to leave. I want it to stay. But I was back to just Rod. But if we can minister that way, then hopefully one day we'll be so like Jesus that we don't have to have him come for us to minister that way. We just do it naturally. There, I know a lot more about me. Okay, any other questions on that one? The emotion one, I get more questions than any other one. Because, okay, dreams. God also speaks to us in dreams. Numbers 12:6. He said, hear now my words. God is speaking here. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. So in the Old Testament, that's one of the ways that God spoke to his prophets. And then Acts 2:17, this is neat. This is on the day of Pentecost. And Peter stands up and actually quoting the Old Testament. And he says it, and it shall be in the last days, God says, I'll pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So here we find Peter paralleling the baptism of the Holy Spirit here with the prophecy of Joel from the Old Testament. And as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this dream things, visions things, it's an experience for all of us now. It's not just for the prophets, every one of us. Like God opened up heaven in Christ. So dreams, they can be simple, they can be full-length motion pictures. In fact, it seems like people who have been Christians for a long time get the most amazing dreams. And they can be for warning, for comfort. They can be prophetic. They can be for direction. They can be for intercession. John Paul Jackson in his class gives 20 different categories of dreams. If you want to take a good class, I think his is one of the best. Dan knows all about his classes. And just like visions, dreams are typically symbolic in nature. In other words, if your mom is in a dream, it may not be your mom. It might be symbolic of the Holy Spirit or something like that. So they're typically symbolic. So because of that, they can be hard to understand. And that is God's plan. He wants them to be hard to understand. Why? So that we'll hang out with him to figure out what it's... Oh, and he loves the relationship thing. You know, he really likes hanging out with us, so he gives us stuff we don't understand. So we go, okay, God, you know, we got to turn from where we're going and connect with him. And so let me give you an example. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1-4, something like that. We won't read it, but in there, Zechariah is getting a vision. An angel is giving him a vision. And in the vision, Zechariah sees this. He sees a golden lampstand and two olive trees. A golden lampstand and two olive trees. And then the angel says to him, Zechariah, what's this mean? And Zechariah goes, I don't know, you tell me. Now that's a wise answer, by the way. I don't know, you tell me. And then it's almost like the angel's a little frustrated there and like, this is a simple one, you should have got this. And then he says, okay, I'll tell you what it means. It means this. He says, not by might, you know, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Oh, yeah, that is easy. I mean, how many of us would have got that? Nobody. You know, so what he does, he gives him something he doesn't understand, you know. Why? So that he can tell us the answer. God does that all the time. Well, many times, my wife Connie, she said, dreams of disasters, and she keeps our life interesting. But then she's had dreams that bring us to our knees to pray for people. And one time she had a dream. We had these real close friends up in the Twin Cities, and they had three young boys, and two of them were in school. The youngest one was still at home. And Connie has a dream where she sees the youngest one being hit by a car in the middle of a street. And she even saw the corner. It was in St. Paul, about a block and a half from where they lived. She's this dream, bam, this little kid gets hit by the car. And so she tells me, I think we need to be praying. And she actually called, and I don't recommend this, but she actually called the mom, our friend, and her name is Deb, and says, you know, I saw a dream, and I saw your son hit by a car. And she told him what intersection, you know, he was hit. And so now there's four of us praying, you know, about this. And we didn't even hardly know how to pray, you know, in this situation. But we're praying, and we're doing whatever we knew how to do. And it was about 2 weeks later. And Deb's in her kitchen doing dishes, and their two older kids are off in school, and her younger son is playing behind her, and she's doing dishes. And all of a sudden, she turns around, and her son isn't there. And as she goes in the living room, the son isn't there. And she doesn't even think to go upstairs in his bedroom. She remembered the dream. So instead of going upstairs, she heads for the front door, out the front door, down that block and a half to that intersection. And when she gets there, her son is there talking to this older lady. And so she goes up to them and she introduces herself to this older lady. She says, well, I'm his mom, you know, my name's Deb. And this older lady starts talking to her and saying, well, it's amazing because I'm never outside this time of day. But yesterday I was having these allergy problems, and so I figured it was coming from my flowers that were in my front yard. And so I determined that the first thing in the morning, when the dew was still on the flowers, I was going to come out and rip them out. So she says, I was outside ripping out these flowers, and I looked up, and I saw your son in the middle of the street. And so I went and got him. Isn't that cool? So God orchestrated this amazing thing. I don't know if he sent angels or what he did, and ended up rescuing this boy, exact spot where Connie saw him get hit by a car. So dreams come, the way we describe it, the easiest way for me to understand it is dreams and interpretation come from three sources. It's either the first heaven, the second heaven, or the third heaven. Now, Dan will spend 20 hours teaching what I'm going to do in 5 minutes. So so there's so much more. You can grab him after if you have more questions. But the first heaven, that's here. It's the atmosphere around us. It's this earth. The second heaven is where the demons and evil spirits dwell. And the third heaven is where God dwells. So a dream from the first heaven, a dream from this reality, from the earth, I like to call just, it's a dump. You know, it's a clearing of our minds. I mean, you've spent your whole day doing something you don't normally do, and at night you go to bed and you dream about it all night. For us guys, if we're up there roofing a house during the day, at night, you know, we're pounding away, hitting our fingers in our dreams. We're doing everything. You know, we're just wore out, and it's just a clearing of the mind. It's a dump. There's usually not a lot of meanings with that. The second dream a dream that comes from the second heaven is usually black and white, or the colors are muted if it's coming from the second. Again, usually it's that. And in those types of dreams, we get the plans of the devil. Find out what the devil wants to do. Non-Christians will get those kind of dreams all the time. Christians get those kind of dreams when God will open the door for us to see those kind of dreams if God wants us to stand against the plans of the devil. Now, if we agree with those things, we actually empower the devil because of our tremendous power of being children of God. But God wants us to stand against those things. And a dream from the third heaven, you know, of course, God is light, so those dreams are usually colorful. They're usually parables, a dream from the third heaven. Now, an interpretation from the first heaven is when we interpret it ourselves using our own intellect, our own logic. We think through it, oh, I think it means this. It's when we do it ourselves. And we might be right, we might be wrong. We might get half of them right and then half wrong, you know. Or if we only use, you know, they got some great books on symbols, you know, biblical symbols and stuff. If that's all we use, it's still interpreting it from the first heaven. It's from our own mind. As good as those books can be, and sometimes they're right and sometimes they'll be wrong. Because when God gives us a dream, He's given us the symbols that mean something to us. So that's why a book will never always be right. Like, for instance, let me give you an example. How many of you just love cats? Just love cats. You can be proud of that. Gabe's got two hands up, loves cats. Okay, how many of you just hate cats? Just bother you. Okay, so Gabe loves cats. And if he gets a dream with cats in it, he will not want Jesse, who hates cats, to give him the interpretation. Because Jesse will go, oh, God's saying you're going to have a bad day. But what God is really saying is you're going to have a great day. You know, because that's how he feels about cats. So you've got to always remember, you know, when you're getting a dream, and Dan knows this too, you know, when there are certain symbols. Well, what does this mean to you? Because God is speaking to you with those. So, but if we do it just from our brain, that's interpretation of the first heaven. Interpretation from the second heaven, and that's when interpretation comes from demons or evil spirits. So psychics, New Agers, all those things will access that realm to get the interpretation. And the best they can do is get the plans of the enemy in their interpretation. That's the best they can do. And of course, an interpretation from a third heaven, it'd be like Joseph or Daniel, where God just downloads to them what it means. And then you get heaven's interpretation. So, knowing this, back to Connie's dream, where she saw that little boy get hit at the car in that intersection. What heaven did that dream come from?
Second
heaven. Came from, it's like God brought her up into the second heaven, the place where the demons dwell, and she got to hear the plans of the enemy so that we could stand against them and say, no, not on my watch. So if you have more questions on dreams, or if you have dreams you want interpreted, Dan can tell you all about that. And
With your team helping you.
Yep. Okay, next. Angels. God speaks through angels. We see that all through the scriptures. I don't need to say too much about this, but I do want to read this verse here in Acts 8:26. It says this: "But the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road.'" Now, that's really a cool verse, but I just do not like the way Luke writes it, because I wouldn't have wrote it this way, not at all. It almost sounds boring the way he wrote it, because if I was writing the book of Acts, it would sound something like this: "But an angel of the Lord spoke to him." Get it? And the angel came and spoke to Philip and told him to go down. Can you believe that? That is so cool. The way he said it is almost boring. "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise, go forth.'" It's not even surprised. You know why I think he's not surprised? I think it was just a daily occurrence for them. They were so used to this angel. But we, with a Western mindset again, we push all that things aside, and then we're not sensitive to these things. Where this book comes out of the East, not the West. And so this was a daily occurrence. You get angels all over the Bible. And angels are spirits. So that means most of the time they speak to us will not be to our flesh. They'll speak to us in dreams, spontaneous thoughts, visions. It's the same way God speaks. They come from the spiritual realm and come and speak to us in a, mostly to our spiritual body. Now, they can you see angels show up and they appear in dreams, all of that. Oh, in Reading, they have a grade school there, and it was in the fifth grade at the church at Bethel Church. And one day in their classroom, a whole bunch of blue angels show up. They're about this big. Kids get to play with them for a couple hours. Oh, I wish I was in fifth grade. Never happened again, just at once. I think we're entering a time where we're going to start seeing more and more and more angels. Most of the time, angels came in rescue missions. And we're starting to be more risky. And you know, we're starting to wanting to do what Jesus did more than we ever have before. And as we start to do that kind of stuff, we're going to say, oh, there he is getting in trouble again. Angels, go! You know, we're going to see that more and more and more. We're going to see a lot more angels than we have been. God also speaks to us in trances, Acts 10:10. This is when Peter was on the roof. He became hungry and was desiring to eat, but while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. The Greek word for trance means to be out of your mind. So in a trance, you're no longer aware of your surroundings. It's like an open vision, but different. Because in an open vision, you see something, but you're aware of your surroundings. In a trance, you're no longer aware of your surroundings. If I was to go in a trance right now, even though you'd be here, I would not even know you're here. And I'd be caught up in the vision or caught up in the voice of God. And then when it was over, all of a sudden, I'm kind of like back in the room. So that's what a trance is. So it's real close to an open vision. Number five, God speaks to us in numbers, in smells, in colors. It's helpful to know some of the scriptural meanings behind some of these things. Like, what's seven mean? What's one of the... Perfect. Completion. So what's yellow mean? Anybody know what yellow, some of the symbols that yellow can mean?
Positive or negative?
Positive. We'll go positive. But that's a good point, because colors and numbers can mean two different things. So, do you remember what yellow means? Courtship with God, pursuit with intention. I've got all these papers with what numbers and things mean. But there's wisdom, nature of God, renewed mind, courage, hope, gifting. Those are some things it can mean. But it can mean something else if that's what God wants you to mean. But like if you have a dream that has a yellow car, the color is important. And the car can, oftentimes a car will mean your ministry. So even the kind of car is important. You know, and God can say, remember, picture is worth 1,000 words. So he can speak to us any of those ways. And then sometimes God speaks to us in English. He does know English and he knows it well. He knows college level. He knows junior high. He knows kindergarten English. He knows it all. And sometimes he can speak to us in an audible voice. We see that actually in two different ways. One where we can actually hear him with our physical ears. And we see that with the children of Israel on at the mountain. I'd love to talk about that story. We'll talk a little bit about it next week. But at the mountain, he speaks to them, all of them, where they hear them with his ears. Jesus heard the audible voice of God. Paul heard it on the road to Damascus. John heard the voice of God in Revelation. And then sometimes it's only audible to you. You know, Samuel, when he was a little kid, God spoke to him. He thought it was Eli talking, and Eli didn't hear anything. And he was just a short distance from him, but God was speaking to him audibly, but no one else could hear it. And there's something common in all these experiences, though. When God speaks to us in our language, audible voice, it's usually in some major turning points of our life. Not all the time, but usually that's when it is. Or God speaks to us audibly when the ministry about to be performed is extremely difficult to accept or believe. And you need that clarity and assurance of just an audible voice to make it through that. So kind of as a rule of thumb here, the clearer God speaks, we find the more difficult the experience he's leading you into. So how many want to hear God's voice really clearly? But they're always adventures. They're amazing adventures. So, because we just need to know that God has really spoken to us before we get into some situations. So that's where that comes from. Another way the Lord will speak to us in English is internal audible voice. And for me, I feel like I hear it right here somewhere. You might feel it in the back of your head. You know, that's where you're hearing it from. But it's not outside, it's inside, but he's speaking to you in English. And there was a time when I was in my, even my early 50s, I would say, yeah, God's only spoken to me, you know, the amount on my fingers, you know, maybe 10 times at the most that way. But I wouldn't say that anymore. It seems like the older I get, the more he speaks to me that way. It's still spontaneous thought is the number one, but he speaks to me more that way. Well, you hear him, and he almost always says my name, you know, Rod, you know, and he'll say something like that, and it's clear as can be. But it's not with these ears, I feel him speaking inside. So internal audible voice. Now, whenever I talk about this one especially, that God does speak to us in English, I need to give a word of caution. Because the Word of God, the Bible is really clear that we need to test the words we get, no matter how clear they are. And this is going to be the clearest you'll ever. When God speaks to you in an audible voice, that's going to be the clearest. But you still need to test that. And this is one of the ways I do. If when God speaks to me, it's about direction in my life or correction or a decision or anything like that. When God speaks to me that way, I will never come up to someone and say, God spoke to me and said this. And there's a reason for that. This is how I can test it, because I know that if it is God, it's going to happen. No doubt. But I can test it this way, because if I were to come up to Jesse and say, hey, God spoke to me and told me that I'm supposed to go do this. Now, for Jesse to disagree with me, he has to disagree with God. And so it's very important for me not to add that on. If I just say, you know, I've been praying about this thing, about going and doing this. Well, then Jesse can now go to God and say, you know, God, it doesn't sound right to me. What do I need to say to Rod? And then he can be honest with me, and then I may have to go back and pray. But he'd have a hard time, especially me being a pastor, he'd have a hard time doing that. And it's because I think it's important that you know that I have been wrong. No way. I've been wrong. I don't know if I just had a bad day, if I was tired, if I had bad pizza, whatever it was. You know, but I've been wrong. So it's real important for me to test that. And so, if you're just blessing somebody, say, God told me you're amazing. You know, that's fine. Because you can never outbrag God. Because he'll think more about that person than you could ever. Even if you were making it up, that's not even half of what God thinks about that person. So you can do that. But when there's decisions to be done, if there's correction involved, the way you test it is by just saying what you feel and then let others people judge it. And the judging goes a whole lot easier if you don't add, God spoke to me. It just does. So word of caution there. God also speaks through creation. Creation is God's prophetic word to us. You know, the mountains speak of his strength, you know, trees of fruitfulness and strength also too in times, rivers of the Holy Spirit, and on. God speaks through his creation. God also speaks through circumstances, both good and bad. Children of Israel, God brought them through all kinds of circumstances to teach them his faithfulness and his love for them. And you know what they did? Is they complained. And guess what happens when you complain? You don't learn anything. You just go around the mountain again and again and again. There's nothing. But God's intention was to keep them in the wilderness just for a little bit so they learn how faithful God is and then send them on to greater things. But they never got out of that. And so they never learned from the circumstances. God also speaks to the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. And this is an amazing thing about the scriptures, though. You read them, and while you're reading the written word, oftentimes, especially I like to read it slow, because while you're reading it, God speaks to you, spontaneous thought, vision, sometimes audible voice, speaks to you from the word, but not the word. And he turns the written word, which is the logos, into the spoken word, which is the rhema. So I think just meditating on the word of God is one of the best ways of hearing God's voice. And then in Romans, Paul says, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, a lot of times, we'll that word of God at the end there, we'll say, well, that's the Bible. No, it's not. It's not. It's not the logos. It doesn't say faith comes by hearing and hearing by reading the logos. It says the word of God, it's rhema. So where does the faith come? It doesn't come from the Bible, as amazing as it is. It comes from when God speaks, from the rhema. That's what changes our heart. The written word can change our head, but we still need the spoken word to change our heart. And that's where the faith comes from.
What was that scripture reference again?
In Romans somewhere, who knows that one by heart? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because, yeah, he'll Google it for us and just shout it out when you get it. Because it's one of those things I just kind of scratched in there, but without the reference. And then finally, while I'm talking, you can yell that out at any time when you find it. God speaks through people. I have some scriptures there for that. 10:17, Romans 10:17. Thank you. Isn't it nice to have a whole concordance and everything just on that little piece of plastic? Yeah, that sure helps. The key to all this is actually fairly simple, and I know I went through this really fast. The first thing is that we need to desire to hear God's voice. If you don't desire to, you probably won't hear much. And then the next thing we need to do is listen. Take time to listen for God's voice. And in our society, in our culture, sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, is just take that time. You can do it in your car. You can do it while you're washing dishes. But it's turning your heart towards Him and then keeping it there. And sometimes just by turning your heart towards Him, you just feel His presence right away. And you feel His presence by feeling loved. You know, you just feel His love. And then the third thing is just expect Him to speak. He loves us. We don't have to earn it. It's given to us for free. He loves to speak to us. I often get asked, you know, well, how do I know it's God's voice? And one of the best examples I can think of is, you know, Connie and I have three children, and then they're not children, they're getting old. My one daughter just had their 20th anniversary. Like, what's the deal with that? How did that happen? So I have a son that's 41. I have twin girls that are 39. But my girls are identical. And so when they were babies, you know, you couldn't tell them apart at all. I memorized who they were because they were bald when they were babies. And they had different vein patterns in their heads. And that's how I knew them apart. It's the only way, because everything else looked the same. And as they grew up, it was the same thing. And hardly anybody could tell them apart. Even our friends. You know, my family even had a hard time telling them apart. But I got to the point where I could call home in the middle of the day from work, and one of them would answer the phone and just say hi. And just from that one word, I go, oh, hi, Stacy, or hi, Stephanie. I'd know who they were just from one word over the phone. And the reason I could tell them apart that easy is because I had spent a lot of time with them. I mean, hours and hours and hours of time with them, to the point where little differences in their voice you start to pick out. And And that's really the same way with all the stuff we're talking about. We don't need to know much about the devil. But if we spend time with Jesus, and mainly this, letting him love us, receiving his love, because that love has a signature on it that is absolutely amazing. But just spending time with Jesus, and then when the devil speaks, when our own mind speaks, we go, oh, that's not the lover of my soul. And we can start to know exactly. Discernment comes easy as we spend time with him. And that does take time. It does take time. So what we're going to do, we only have 5 more minutes, but what I want to do is we're going to get in groups of three. And this is what I want you to do for tonight. And we'll do what you had, I think, next week. Why don't we number off?
Up to seven.
Okay, I'll have you take over in a sec then. Why don't you come on up? But this is what I want you to do. When you get in a group of three, I want you to pick one person and then ask God to give you either a spontaneous thought or a vision for that person, the two of you. And then when you're done with that person, go to the next person and next person. So all three of you have a chance. And we won't give you much time, so you have to do it quick. So Dan will count you off and you can get in your groups.
One.